former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, hello. We're rocking and rolling on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Got a great 2 hours on tap coming up in about 30 minutes. VSiN host Mike Somich will join us, get some of his favorite plays for Thursday night football, hour two. It is Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I'm broadcasting from. Another Palms pressing 3 day, which is wonderful. And when it's Thursday, Michael, all it means is that I am outmanned and outgunned in the name department. Three Mike Michaels on the program today. How are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. I mean, we're doing good. You know, it's a busy day today. Thursdays are always busy. It's our Friday, Stormy. You know, I know you don't get a day off, neither do I. So it's our Friday, so we'll enjoy it, you know. And I do want to say, you know, yesterday we found out the passing of Coach Knight, the basketball coach at Indiana, which for me, look, Coach Knight has a lot of people that don't really that don't like his coaching style or didn't like what he did. But for me personally, he was tremendous as a learning a tool. We would always go to Indiana every year, Belichick and I, and we would be able to have lunch with him, go to his favorite luncheonette, and he would just sit there and start teaching us about coaching and leadership and all those things. And watching his team practice was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I mean, the ball boys were incredibly organized. It was unbelievable. And, you know, and for me, it was such a valuable lesson. It'll always go down. I have a picture of my youngest son in an Indiana little shirt that I still have, and I love it because it reminds me of when I went to Indiana, listened to him talk and all that. So, you know, what he's done in basketball, I think if you listen to the video of him talking about Michael Jordan and how great Michael Jordan is, and to play him at center is great. And then finally, the ability for him to, my biggest memory is I got a phone call when we were getting ready to hire a coach in Cleveland. Art Modell called my house and said, he called me at the office and said, guess who I talked to, young man? And I said, Mr. Modell, I have no idea. Art, I have no idea. He said, I just got off the phone with Bob Knight. And I said, what happened? He said, Bob Knight called me on the phone. I was at the house in Willoughby. And he said, Art, this is Bob Knight from Orrville, Ohio. I think you should hire Bill Belichick as a coach. He's the next best coach you'll ever hire. And he hung up the phone. And that was it.
No way.
And that's why he hired him.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a story. What a memory. And obviously a man that had, you know, a complicated legacy, but what a remarkable coach that he was, as good at the X's and O's as anybody. And for today's day and age in college basketball, where I feel like there's NIL and it's all about the personalities and players, a coach that is just such a staple and a figure that everything revolved around him and his message. And unfortunate that he passed, but obviously so memorable in so many ways. And when you say that about Bill Belichick, and we obviously know what he said about Michael Jordan before he ever played in the NBA, is really remarkable, the foresight that he had.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, you know, and the reason it's interesting, the relationship happened when he was at West Point, and it was because of his dad, who was a Navy coach, and they kind of would compete against each other and would talk about it. But the lessons that you learn when you separate the chair and you separate all the things, kind of the personality that kind of got in the way of what he did really well, and you boil, you know, we're all flawed as human beings, right? And so when you separate that and you really, what you gain from his wisdom, you know, just the fact that he told, I love the fact that he told the general manager of the Portland Trailblazers to draft Michael Jordan. And the guy says, well, you know, we already have a guy. I mean, how could we, you know, we already got Clyde Drexler. Why would we take Michael Jordan? He said, well, then play him at center. I think that's really perfect.
Yeah. And on a day like today, to your point, like we want to remember and talk about the good, and you remember the graduation rates that he had, which were top tier, and the things that he did for a lot of those players after basketball. And yeah, really, like we said, complicated, I think is a good word, but an incredible legacy that of course he had out there at Indiana, and unintentional, even the color, but in his honor today, certainly. Always tough to transition out of something like that, but a memory and a legacy that we'll remember forever. But the Texas Rangers, Michael, also yesterday, I think pretty special, the first World Series in franchise history for them coming through yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it was remarkable, right? What, 4-1? They had no problem. And, you know, it's and lost their best, what, lost their best hitter during it, too.
Yep.
And they were able to come through, and Bruce Bochy comes back and wins. I mean, shutout for the Diamondbacks. I feel bad for the Phillies, right? I mean, they're one game away from playing the Rangers, and the Phillies are probably sitting there saying, we would have given them a better series. But that's the way it is. Congratulations to the Rangers. Does this mean that there could be some championships in that Arlington area down there? You know, don't the Cowboys play right near there? Do we have that championship feeling? I mean, last year, that's all they talked about in Philly was the championship feeling, right?
I'm sure they would like that.
The Phillies went to the World Series. You know, you catching on any of that?
I'm sure Jerry Jones is. Can't wait to see his media spot. but yeah, it's, you know, actually my segue to that, Michael, is this is for the Rangers, the first in franchise history. There are 12 NFL teams that still have yet to win a Super Bowl, and a few that could put themselves in position this year. The Detroit Lions are the shortest shot of that bunch. But do you think that this year or in like years upcoming that one of those teams that's never gotten one could finally kind of get over the hump and get there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would like to think Cleveland could get there, but this quarterback saga of Cleveland just continues to go on and on and on, you know, and they can't get that right. I mean, Cleveland, I know this sounds insane, right, because they paid so much for a quarterback, but they're a good quarterback away from being a team that could compete,
yeah,
right? And the Bengals, like, I decided to throw out all my numbers, right? Because the Bengals season started last week, really, against your Niners. So at 14-1, they're a good play because they have everything. I think the Ravens are a way better team than that 15-1 number and the Dolphins at 850. I think that's wrong. In my power rankings, that's wrong. So yeah. I think that has, to me, you have to consider that. I think Buffalo's right at 16-1. I think Buffalo's a team sliding. Now, you know, I'm sure they'll play Cincinnati a lot tougher this week with the rest and all that. But Josh Allen, you know, missing yesterday because of the shoulder. Remember, he went in the blue tent, right? You know, and he tried to run. He got his ankle twisted. He's going to have to carry this team, Stormy, and I worry about that.
The Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings, two teams that have made the most appearances in a Super Bowl, but have yet to win one. And yes, the Bills sitting there 16-1. As far as teams that have yet to win a Super Bowl, Lions at 11-1, the shortest shot, Bengals 14-1, Bills 16-1, Jags 16-1. And then it obviously falls off of that. The Tennessee Titans, one of those teams that has not won a Super Bowl. And I don't think at 130-1, anyone will be playing them, but they might be tonight.
You're not playing it?
I shan't be doing that. No, Michael, but maybe you could tempt me tonight on Thursday night football, taking on the Steelers. This is an interesting matchup, I think, on Amazon Prime coming up tonight at 8:15 Eastern. The Steelers are laying 3. We always talk about the Mike Vrabel, just like we talk about Mike Tomlin, as an underdog, right? And so you're getting 3 points with a tremendous performance the other day from Will Levis in his rookie debut. Different situation, obviously, this time around, going on the road, first road start, how you're going to perform. I'll get into some of the numbers in a moment, but the history that Mike Tomlin has against rookie quarterbacks, how are you breaking down tonight's action?
Well, I mean, look, I think it starts, right, with Will Levis. And when you break Will Levis down and you watch him play in the last game, he made some really good throws. But a lot of those throws were kind of, I don't want to call them off script, but they were a little bit of the delayed action. It wasn't a rhythm throw. You know, the deep ball to Hopkins, which I don't know how Hopkins wasn't called for offensive pass interference. I really don't. I mean, he threw the corner out of the way, right? I mean, he just did that. And then he made a great throw in the back of the end zone. So I think he did a good job, but this is a different story. You know, I think when you look at this and you think he's the 7th quarterback, and I looked at my notes today, that they'll face the Steelers in their first season in a night game. And I hate to report this to Titans fans, but everybody's 0-6. You know, the Pittsburgh has an ability to bounce back. Now, I think with Minkah Fitzpatrick not in the game tonight, that makes their defense a little hard. You can run the ball on Pittsburgh gives up 4.6 yards a carry. So there, you've been able to, but Cam Hayward's back now. So that changes all the numbers. So this is going to be a really hard game because if Henry doesn't get going, and I think it'll be harder for him to get going, then it puts a lot of pressure on Levis to create plays on third down off on script.
And with their tackle, Chris Hubbard, out as well, dealing with a concussion. That was my first thought. I was like, yeah, it stinks that you're not going to have Minkah Fitzpatrick out there on the back end dealing with that hamstring. But you do get Cam Hayward back. You do have TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith coming off the edge. So that would worry me if I was Tennessee from this standpoint. And also, with what you said about DeAndre Hopkins, Michael, I see a lot of people betting that over on his prop tonight, sitting at 51.5. It's already been bet up to 53.5. But obviously, the big performance that he had last week and that connection that he had with Will Levis, do you see him being that go-to safety net target again for Will Levis in this spot?
Yeah, I think to me that, you know, he's on the injury list, but isn't he always on the injury list?
Yeah, he's expected to play.
Like, I don't think that's a factor. I think a lot of this is going to come down to, can these tackles for Tennessee, can they protect? Are they going to give Levis the time? And if Henry can get running, because they've been able to run the football effectively the last few weeks. I mean, they've got their running game going. And when they have balance, they're really good.
The numbers here real quickly this last minute before we have to hit the break. For rookie quarterbacks against Mike Tomlin, specifically in Pittsburgh, 1-15 straight up, 0-5 in primetime. The lone winner was Dak in 2016. Overall, rookie quarterbacks, they lost to CJ Stroud in week 4. But prior to that, 24-4 the Steelers were against rookie quarterbacks, including 9 straight going into that game in week 4. So they've had a lot of success in the past. We'll see what they can do this time around to trip up Will Levis now that they have a little bit of tape.
Do you trust? We didn't even mention
and Kenny Pickett's injury. Let's throw that in too as well.
you didn't even mention his name. Like, you just avoided him. You know, he's 5-1 straight up and 6-0 at night games with the Steelers. Did you know that? You didn't even mention him.
Well, we'll get to that after the break real quickly. How about that? Let's get into the Kenny Pickett of it all when we return. He's dealing with a rib injury. He says he's going to play. We'll discuss that and more with News or Noise coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lombardi Line. Let's wrap up some of this Thursday night football conversation. The Steelers, a 3-point home favorite.
Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
You avoided him. You avoided Kenny Pickett. I saw you do that.
I said we'll get there. A 3-point favorite at home tonight against the Titans. Low total 37. But yes, I will put out that note that you said right before the break. Kenny Pickett, 5-1 straight up, 6-0 ATS in night games with the Steelers. There we go. The note is out there. It is true. But he's also dealing with a rib injury coming into this one. He practiced full. He said, I'm absolutely going out there. How do you think that he impacts this game tonight?
Well, I think, look, there's a couple things they got to do with Pittsburgh. It's got to be a team effort, right? I mean, Pittsburgh, their whole premise is built around running the football. They're 29th in the league in yards per attempt rushing, right? They're 26th in attempts, excuse me. So not only can they not run it, they don't even try to run it, partly because they can't run it. You know, what happens is you get off of the track when you don't run it. I mean, they've only had 61 first downs in the games they've played. They've played 7 games. They got 61 first downs. What does that tell you? So everybody wants to blame the coordinator because they think the players are so good. The offensive line's got to play better. Now, the one thing about this game is the last few weeks, you know, teams have been able to run the football on Tennessee. It's surprising, but they have. Now, a lot of it I was basing on the fact that Tart didn't play, but Tart played last week and Atlanta ran for 140 yards. Right? Atlanta ran for 140 yards, so they were able to run the ball. Before that, Baltimore ran for 139. Before that, Indianapolis ran for 193. So if Pickett can get some kind of run game going and stay out of third down, which they're a disaster on third down. They're 27th in the league in third down. Then they all have a chance. But Tennessee, you got to throw the ball really well to beat Tennessee, which means you got to block up front. Mm-hmm. And I think the root of the problem is the real root of the problem is their offensive line.
Yep, it has been a problem. And for Pickett personally, just 61% completions. He only has 1 passing touchdown, his last 4 starts, 2 total touchdowns from Pickett in his last 4 starts. So obviously things need to get turned around. It's great that they're over 500 right now. I would like them to keep winning to hit my season win total for the year. So please continue to do so. But this game feels interesting to me. So I know you don't make official plays on the Thursday night games, Michael, but if you had a gut feeling for how this one's going to go, what comes to mind?
You know, I can't go against Tomlin. I think on paper you would want to take. You want to take the Titans, but there's always something about this game that makes you nervous, right? There's always something about it. I just don't know how, you know, you do that, right? So I'd probably lean towards Pittsburgh. Okay. Just a lean, you know. But, you know, it's going to be ugly, right? But, you know, when you look at Vrabel, in games where the spread is 3 or less, Vrabel's 21-16 straight up. He's 19-16-2 against the spread. So it isn't like you say, well, they got Vrabel and he's getting points on the road. Well, wait a minute. Those numbers aren't exactly lighting it up, right? Mm-hmm. So the way Pittsburgh played last week was disappointing against a good Jacksonville team. But they're going to have to throw the ball, just like Pittsburgh's going to. I mean, Tennessee's going to have to throw the ball. With Hayward back in there, they're going to have to throw the football. And can Levis throw the ball? So I'm going to go against the rookie quarterback, and I'll go with Mike Tomlin. That would be my lean.
All right. I love it. We'll discuss this game more at length a little bit later on in the show, but time to continue with some of the headlines around the National Football League in news or noise. Let's hustle through them. Run the open.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, let's do it. And we're going to start right here in Vegas, where new interim head coach Antonio Pierce talked to media for the first time yesterday, telling reporters he's built for this opportunity. Said, I was born a Raider, growing up a fan of the team in Compton. Owner Mark Davis saying Pierce is a guy who understands the culture of the Raiders. Here's a snippet of Pierce's opening statement yesterday.
It's a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset. What is that mindset? It's that of the Raider pride, the commitment to excellence, and making sure our alumni, our fan base, and Raider Nation are proud of what they see on the field. This is about the players, this is about the Raiders, and this is about this organization, and we're tired of losing. It's not a good feeling. We're a production-based business. We're about competition, being competitive, and play with an edge and a swag and a certain confidence that we walk out that damn tunnel that everybody watching TV can see it, and a product on the field is something we're proud of.
News or noise, we buy in what Antonio Pierce is selling.
Well, I think you have to, right? I think you have to buy it because I think it's news because he is going, there's always that shot of adrenaline that hits into you. Now, he's also going to start a rookie quarterback against a defensive coordinator who loves to attack the protections and puts the quarterback in a really tough spot. But how worse could it be than it was with Jimmy Garoppolo on Monday night? You know, Jimmy just looks like he needs a break. Like you can't keep playing Jimmy, because the one thing I've learned in my career is when a quarterback's eye level's down like Jimmy's is, there's just no sense in playing him. There's just no sense. He's got to, like, Kurt Warner regained his eye level when he went from the Giants to the Cardinals. It takes a little bit of time, and maybe it will be for Jimmy. But what I think he's got to do is take winning out of the conversation, right? This Raider team isn't just going to show up and win, mm-hmm. right? You know, and there's no quick fixes, because people that instantly think there's a quick fix are really avoiding responsibility and discipline. That's really ultimately what happens. So, look, I think he's going to motivate the team. He's got to figure out what he can do. He's got an opponent in Daniel Jones. The fact that the Giants still remain the dog in this game with a rookie quarterback is somewhat shocking to me. It just tells you how bad the people think the Giants are. And, of course, I'm labeled a Giants hater, but how about somebody hating on the book for not making them a favorite in this game?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of where I was going to go with this game specifically. You talk about the rookie quarterback, and you're for a situation with the Raiders, there's no quick fixes, but they're still favored in this game. The Giants are going to be without Darren Waller. We know that. Brian Daboll said Daniel Jones is good to go. So that's even with the assumption that Daniel Jones is going to play, that they're still an underdog in the spot against a team that's struggling and just fired their coach. So, yes, that tells you more about the Giants.
Can you imagine you gave this guy $40 million? Can you imagine you gave this quarterback $40 million a year and you're playing against a pure rookie, a team that just fired his coach, and you're traveling on the road, and your defense has played pretty well the last couple weeks. Your defense has played, you got to admit, their defense, Buffalo gave up 14 points. I mean, we saw a punting contest in New York with the Jets. I mean, they've played pretty good. And in Washington, they played good against the Commanders. They held the Commanders to 273. They haven't given up a 300-yard game in the last 3 weeks. And four of the last five they haven't, other than the Miami Dolphins. And yet, you're still a dog.
Yep. When it comes to Antonio Pierce, I did love the fieriness. I love the energy. We'll see how that can translate onto the field in their first outing this weekend. Now, how about the Arizona Cardinals, who traded away Josh Dobbs to the Vikings earlier this week? So will it be the rookie Clayton Tune, or will it be Kyler Murray? Some interesting comments from head coach Jonathan Gannon, who said in his presser, Kyler's fired up and ready to go. Referenced that he was excellent in team meetings this week, but did not commit one way or another. News or noise, is it reality Kyler Murray could start this week against the Browns?
I think it's news. I mean, what are we holding? What are we saving him for? If he's ready to go and you want to play him, then you got to play him. I mean, you got to play, or you got to tell us why you're not playing him. Right? Like, it's news. Like, you really going to go into Cleveland? You're an 8-point dog. The line's telling us he's not playing. The line is telling, I mean, that line went up to 8.5, I think, today. Like, can you imagine PJ Walker being an 8-point favorite against any team? Can you imagine that? Now, the line hasn't moved, right? This morning, I mean, this morning at, you know, at DraftKings here in New Jersey, that line's locked solid at 8. There's some 8.5s around, too. That tells me he's not playing.
Okay. How about going to the team that Josh Dobbs was traded to, the Minnesota Vikings? Kevin O'Connell making some comments about Kirk Cousins, who, of course, just had the surgery on his Achilles, says that their plans to push for Kirk Cousins to return as the team's QB1 in 2024. The belief was, obviously, Cousins in the final year of his contract going to be a free agent and go elsewhere after the season. But take a listen to this soundbite real quick.
We talked about different things and had some dialogue, great dialogue internally, and then just wanted to make sure that, we gave ourselves the opportunity to really go a lot of directions with the position, including, like I've said many times, Kirk Cousins is going to be healthy again. I know he's going to be a free agent after this season, but Kirk knows how I feel about him, and that'll be something that, will hopefully work itself out.
News or noise that he could come back?
I think that's noise. There's no way he's coming. I mean, you're talking about next year? Mm-hmm. No, that's news. I think it's going to come down to, I thought you were talking about this year.
No. About that, I don't even think Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
No, I mean, I think it's news. I mean, but again, I mean, look, this is going to come down to, will Cousins take a friendly contract or is he going to go to the highest bidder? Because if he wants to go to the highest bidder, I'm sure there's going to be teams out there bidding for him. Look, if Derek Carr got $40 million and he played the way he did at Las Vegas, what do you think Cousins could get in the open market playing the way he did? Now, I know he's coming off an injury, so it's a different situation. But to me, I think ultimately that's the key. And I could see him. I mean, he's comfortable in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, how much more money does he need to make?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with him potentially being traded in season prior to the injury too, right? Was he likes Minnesota, his family's comfortable there, he likes his situation. Interesting thing to monitor, especially again, coming off of the injury. We're gonna step aside. Good friend of the show, Mike Somich, Beeson host, gonna join us coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check on the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we now welcome into the show. Great friend Mike Somich, VSiN host, professional handicapper, does great work here with The Handle every weekend, and also RacingDudes.com, our horse racing expert. You're getting set for the Breeders' Cup this weekend too. You're very busy.
Oh, big weekend here. We got the Breeders' Cup on Friday and Saturday. Make sure you check out VSiN.com. I'll have an article with my best bets for both Friday and Saturday going up tonight and then Friday night for the following day. So make sure you check it out there. Wide open weekend. Last year, we had 5-6 favorites that were sub 2-1. This weekend, we're only going to have 1 or 2 of those. So it's a great betting weekend at the Breeders' Cup. Can't wait to get it started.
So what? Give us a tip here. What do you like about the what is good about this Breeders' Cup? Do I have to call Parcells up and get his picks?
Yeah. Hey, man, Parcells done well in the horse racing world. The fun part here is you don't have a lot of short priced horses. So if you're right, you're going to get paid. In the Breeders' Cup Classic, for instance, We had the favorite scratch out of the race. Your second choice was going to be your morning line favorite. It's a horse called Arabian Knight. Has to break out of the 12 post. He wants to be in the lead, but there's a horse in the 6 post called Saudi Crown. It's going to make him, it's going to put pressure on him the entire race. I like the 11 horse in there, 10-1, a horse named Bright Future for Todd Pletcher. Is a really lightly raced 4-year-old, but supposed to be very, very talented. They skipped the mile to go to the Classic here. Should sit the perfect trip. So give me the 11 Bright Future at 10-1.
And an excellent name. See, that's what I really look for in my horse racing wagers, the best name on the board. But travel safe to Santa Anita.
That's how you handicap, Stormy?
Obviously.
Is that how you handicap it?
Let me some good odds and a good name, baby. It. That's what I'm looking for. But awesome stuff, as always. Make sure you travel safe to Santa Anita. Excited to check out your coverage there. But this is the football show, so let's get into the NFL. We got a primetime matchup tonight, Thursday night football. The Steelers taking on the Tennessee Titans. We got the rookie quarterback who had the epic 4-touchdown debut, Kenny Pickett, on the other side dealing with a bit of a rib injury, but his squad is favored by 3 points, total 37. How are you breaking things down tonight?
Well, if you like horse names, Stormy, there's a horse in the first at Santa Anita tomorrow named Mo Fox Given. That's going to be a fun one to hear the announcer call.
That's going to be a not safe for work call at all. There we go.
You have to be very, very careful with that one. I think it's going to be an interesting game tonight. You look at that start there for Levis last time. It looks good on paper. The stats look great. The 4 receptions for 130 plus yards to Hopkins look solid. But when you look at the overall body of work, graded out just the 29th most productive passing offense last weekend, but with only the Giants behind them. And the Giants offense was dreadful last weekend throwing the football. So from a down to down perspective, the performance wasn't as good as we saw from the stat line. I think this is a tough, tough spot here for Levis to come in. Second career start, has to go on the road, short week of prep against a defense that should be able to heat him up pretty good with the pressure. He's going to YOLO a couple out there, so you're going to have a shot at big plays. But from a just down-to-down perspective, I don't see this Tennessee Titans offense having success consistently. On the other side, look, the Steelers, I've been against them the last couple weeks, felt like they've just had some pixie dust to pull out some wins. I'd love to see them play their offense in the second half and the first half, because that to me is a much more open offense and they've got weapons on the outside with both Johnson and Pickett that they can use. I am expecting a pretty easy Pittsburgh win tonight. So I did lay the 2.5 with the Steelers right now. You can find that in a couple spots. You've got the 3 plus 100 out there as well. To me, finding that 2.5 is the key here. I do think the Steelers have success. I'm very, very hesitant to play anything first half because of how bad they've been. But to me, Steelers second half as well, if this game's tight at half, is a good play, because I do think they've played significantly better in the second half of football games so far this season.
Yeah, they're behind 43-14 at the end of the first quarter. And then they're minus 11 based on the second quarter point total. So that's not good. You like Warren to go over 19.5. What I find interesting when I was doing research, Mike, is all this conversation, Warren needs to play. Okay. Well, and Najee Harris is no good. All right, well, when you break it really down, Najee Harris averages 3.7 a carry. Warren averages 3.9. In the passing game, Najee Harris averages 7.2, Warren at 7.1. And Najee has the longer pass reception. So, like, to me, it's not as clear-cut as everybody wants to make it out. Like, this guy, like, Warren's Kamara, and, you know, and Najee is really no good. But you like him today over 20 yards, over 19.5, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do like Warren over 19.5. It feels like one of those grass is greener type scenarios, Michael, where we have this second running back that everyone thinks is more explosive. They want to get him in there. This offensive line for Pittsburgh is a big problem as well. I mean, that's one of the reasons you see the lower averages. And look, they're very predictable when they're running the football with Najee Harris as well. Warren actually has a little bit of an advantage there because he gets some of these third down shotgun runs when you've got defenses playing in nickel and having the opportunity to have a little less defenders in the box. So I like Warren. I don't think he's a huge upgrade over Harris, but what they do in the passing game has really played toward Warren. Going into last week, he was second on the team in receptions, second on the team in yards. He's gone over his prop in 5 of the 7 games so far this year. He's consistently getting 4, 5, 6 targets a game. And with a number sitting at just 19.5, if he can get that type of workload, I think he's going to have some success. And with Pickett being injured, he's going to want to get the ball out quicker. I expect more short passes, more screens, things like that, which play right into Warren's hands when he's looking to go over this 19.5 receiving yards total.
VSiN host and professional handicapper Mike Somich joining us live on the Lombardi Line on a Thursday. Big game coming up in the AFC this weekend as well. Bills Bengals with 2 of the best quarterbacks in the league going head to head. And oddly enough, it's not Joe Burrow's injury we're talking about. It's Josh Allen, who found himself on the injury report yesterday, missed practice dealing with that lingering shoulder. Bills are getting two in Cincinnati this week. How much does the Josh Allen factor play into the way that you're breaking this one down?
It feels like he's been hurt for a couple weeks here, that this isn't a new thing, and now we're just kind of starting to see it on the injury report. To me, this is Bengals minus two all day. I'd play them up to three here. This Bengals team is one of the few scenarios where I actually upgraded them a full point their bye week, just because I thought that bye week came at such an important time for them. We saw them come out, play phenomenal against San Francisco. We saw Joe Burrow scramble and not slide and actually try and dive for extra yards, take a hit for the first time all season in that San Francisco game. That tells me that he is feeling good. That's a great sign for this team. We saw the escapability in the pocket from Burrow. Feels like we're close to back to that normal Joe Burrow, probably around 95% now. And the Bills, on the other hand, look, this defense has been an absolute mess for the last 4 weeks. Missing Matt Milano is a huge loss. Have issues on the outside as well. To me, I don't understand why this thing is sitting at two right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we're out to the full three or maybe even more by the time this kicks off. These are two teams headed in different direction right now. This Bills team needs to figure out how to right the ship, and a hurt Josh Allen does not help right that ship. On the other side, Burrow looked phenomenal. He absolutely cruising. And I like what I think we're going to see from this Bengals defense as well against the Bills. They had a good game plan last year before that game was cut short. I thought the Bengals were going to win that game last year. I think they have a very, very good chance to beat the Bills by margin here.
Yeah, and there's some 1.5s in the market. You know, that's 2 and 1.5s in the market. How about you? Are you going all in on Taylor Heineke and the Atlanta Falcons over the Minnesota Vikings and Jared and their quarterback? Is it Jaren Hall?
Yeah.
Hall, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I am BYU quarterback factory. Who knew? We had three starters from BYU now coming in the NFL. Look, I have Heineke as a 2-point upgrade over Desmond Ridder. So it's just one of those situations where I made the game 4. Heineke adds 2 points to that. I think this should be 6 right now with Heineke in there. We saw the second half. This Atlanta team produced 20 points in the second half against Tennessee. They have struggled to produce 20 points in full games with Desmond Ridder. There are weapons on this offense. Taylor Heineke, while he is not phenomenal, he knows how to run an offense, and he can successfully get it to those weapons. So I think this is a massive upgrade at quarterback here for the Atlanta Falcons. I think they have success with Heineke. And that Cousins injury is absolutely brutal. He was playing some phenomenal football. Doesn't really get credit for how well he was playing with his escapability in the pocket and some of the passes he was making. The Justin Jefferson loss is now going to be just amplified because you have a young quarterback back there. So for me, I'm happy to lay the 4.5 here with the Falcons.
Yeah, and he was tied for the league lead in touchdown passes too. How about, speaking of the Falcons, sticking the NFC South, Carolina hosting the Indianapolis Colts, total 44 in that one. Panthers getting 2.5 coming off their first win of the year.
They are. I mean, you got to be feeling good if you're a Panthers fan right now. Actually get a win against Houston. Look, we saw Thomas Brown first game last week. I thought he opened the offense up a little bit. I wasn't in love with the returns, but they moved the football from the 20 to the 20 and then struggled inside the red zone. I think this total's sitting too low here at 44, which is not a very good Colts defense. The Panthers should have success there. Panthers defense isn't great either. And what we've seen from Gardner Minshew, he's willing to just YOLO it around, throw the football everywhere. That creates points. He turns the football over. That helps create points. To me, this 44 is too low. I have it set at 46.5. So I'll take the over here with the Colts and the Panthers.
Mike, appreciate you. Drive safe out there to Santa Anita. How far is that drive?
It's about 2.5 hours. Okay, should be a nice bad. Little, you know, I'll just throw the Lombardi on, be able to listen to it on the way.
That's what you do. Got a new episode of GM Shuffle dropping today. You're all set for the drive. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Stormy. Have a good weekend.
Yes, make sure you check him out as well again on The Handle every weekend, 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern. Does a great job on the weekends with Matt Brown and, of course, RacingDudes.com. Exciting to have the Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend. I'm sure he'll join us again. And no Fox given. FCC guidelines be darned. That'll be a tough one to manage. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we continue to talk all things Week 9 in the National Football League. Michael, time for a little different game or more of the same, breaking down some of the notable stats for specific units and whether or not we're going to see more of the same this week or if things are going to change a little bit. And that could be for better or for worse. So we were talking with Mike Somich a little bit ago about the Cincinnati Bengals and how they have rounded into form. They made the 49ers defense look bad last week. Nick Bosa, who essentially with some of these numbers, 400 total yards, 31 points. They were 4 of 5 in the red area, 29 first downs. Now they're taking on a Buffalo Bills defense that we know has struggled with injuries. They did add a couple of pieces this week, signed Linval Joseph this morning, Rasul Douglas at the trade deadline. But for the Bengals specifically, different game or more of the same from what we've seen last week and the last couple weeks for Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, look, Cincinnati, is their offensive line's got to play to the same level. They understand how to play the scheme. And when you break down the game from last year, right, they did it with a bad offensive line on the road, too. I mean, when you go through it, they had 30 first downs in the game. You know, they ran for 172 yards. They were really good in that area. And they converted 6 out of 10 third downs. So they took the game over and Buffalo's defense was on the ropes the whole game. I mean, obviously, Buffalo's trying to add with Rasul Douglas and then Linval Joseph inside, but they can't replace Milano, and they can't replace their third corner. Like, who's covering Tyler Boyd in the slot? Teron Johnson's not doing that. It's going to be hard. So they're going to have to do it with their pass rush, and Von Miller's got to take his game up to another level. That's going to be the key, so... Look, I was surprised, as you mentioned in the break, the circuit contest, this is at 1.5. I kind of thought it would go to 2, 2.5 in the contest. I see a lot of people probably in the contest going to take Cincy. The question is going to be is, can Buffalo, A, not turn the ball over? Because we know Josh Allen has turned the ball over quite a bit. And B, what happens if they fall behind? What happens if they fall behind? And they fell behind against New England. That cost them. They didn't fall behind against Tampa, and they were able to win. The Giants, they came back, only scored 14. So I think it's a last possession kick field goal type game.
Yeah, high total game as well, sitting 49.5 right now. So this could be just one of those back and forth, high flying, high scoring type of games. Although credit, you know, the Bengals defense last week too, Lou Anarumo doing a good job here recently as well on that side. How about the Green Bay Packers? We talked yesterday. Yeah. How in the world are they favored by 3.5 against anybody? That line obviously giving you at least some hint potentially at Matt Stafford's health and his ability or lack thereof to grip the football. But last week, 4 sacks allowed. They were only 1 of 4 in the red zone, 10 points on the day, 196 yards passing. Jordan Love continues to struggle for another week. Last week against the Vikings, and while their defense has been improved, I don't think anybody's saying, wow, Minnesota's defense is toughest in the league. For the Packers offense, different game or more of the same as they take on Los Angeles this week?
Well, look, the Ram, I was going through it this morning, and you know, the line indicates that Stafford's not going to play with 3, but they haven't signed another quarterback. Remember, they tried to get John Wolford and he stayed in Tampa, so they don't have him on the team. They don't have any, they just have basically Brett Rippon and Stafford, who didn't practice yesterday. And one thing we know about the Rams is we don't know any of their players other than Aaron Donald, but they play pretty good defensively, you know, and they've been able to handle some games pretty well for them. Now, when they get behind and they can't run the ball as an offense is when they get into trouble. And the Packers have been on the field defensively for basically almost 33 minutes. And they've played 58 more plays in their offense because they're so bad at converting third downs. They can't throw completed passes. And every time Matt LaFleur gives the ball to A.J. Dillon, the defense is applauding him. They're just applauding him because that's 3-1 a carry. And if you take Love stats out of Green Bay's rushing totals, the team averages 3-2. They haven't been 3-3. They haven't been able to run the football. So I don't love the Rams if Rippon's playing, but to me, if Stafford's playing, I don't know how you don't take the dog on the road because they'll move the football and they'll make it hard for Love to complete passes.
Yeah, and you know I've been loving fading the Packers specifically in the first half, but in this game, I'm not sure that I can get there and make that bet. When it comes to Jordan Love specifically, Michael, the league-high 8 interceptions since the start of week 3, he started off so strong, and we've seen a consistent shift, really having trouble maintaining the football, you know, and making smart decisions with it. Is that something that, like, can work out the kinks? Because I know Matt LaFleur has stressed how important this stretch down the back end of the season is going to be for him and for this team.
Well, I mean, look, they're 31st in completion percentage. They're 24th in yards per attempt. He, in air yards, he's throwing the ball 9.4 yards. So he can't complete any easy passes. It's really a problem. And when teams get pressure on him, that's when he really struggles, right? So that's the big issue here is when he speeds up his game, his accuracy isn't very good. And that's the issue. And now that they can't run the ball, and the fact that they've only scored 29 points in the first half, Stormy, think about that. They scored 29 points in the first half. Miami did that against the Panthers when they fell behind 14-0. Like, they scored 29 points in the first half. I mean, now he's got to throw it. You can't run it.
They're a minus 59-point differential in the first half.
It's really bad. So, you know, a lot of this is on him because he can't complete the ball, but also a lot of it is on them. They can't start fast. They can't play from in front. And that's the biggest issue.
His 32 QBR since week three is the second worst in the league, only to PJ Walker in that time. So fun stuff there for the Green Bay Packers, who have been so used to having MVP caliber quarterback play, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre and the longevity that he had there. So a different change of scenery now at the quarterback position. How about the Philadelphia Eagles last week against the Commanders? So this is where my question is. We're going to get to the numbers. 472 total yards allowed, the Eagles defense. 31 points allowed. 26 first downs allowed. They also allowed a set. Was this a case of the Commanders always play the Eagles close, and so it'll be a different game? Or is this kind of like the Eagles defense is just kind of shaky this year, more of the same? What do you think?
No, I think it's not more of the same. I think it's that the Washington plays them well. Because if you go back to the past three games, including Miami, those three games, teams only got 46 first downs against them. They've played really well with everybody other than with Washington. And, you know, with Carter coming back, I fully expect them. The reason they've been so effective is their defense, you know. And even when they get behind in a game, they come right back. I mean, their offense can kind of get it back going. So I think their defense will play well. And I think their defense will play a lot better than they did in the last few games. I mean, the last three games, they've been fine other than Washington. So you got to throw that one out. Because I don't think Dallas is going to duplicate what Washington does. First of all, Dallas has to run the ball to win. And they need Dak to throw it 35 times or less. If they do that, they'll be in the game. If this is a 40-pass game for Dak, they're not going to win it. And they do that, they have to control the pace of the game.
I saw this stat yesterday. Dak Prescott 3-0 with 44 points per game his last three starts against the Philadelphia Eagles. I did not realize it had been like that in recent history off the top of my mind.
Well, last year, remember, we got the game in Philly. The game in Philly was Cooper Rush, right? The game in Dallas was Dak versus Gardner. So it's two different games, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I was saying Dak specifically in his last three starts. But yes, the second one against Gardner. Yeah. Yep.
So that's why it's hard to handicap last year's game. Like, for me, that's the first thing I always go look at. Like, Buffalo Cincy, let me go to that playoff game. You know, let me go look at these games from last year and see what happened. Well, they're really not relevant because of the quarterbacks. Each team played different quarterbacks in each game.
Fun question for you. Who do you think, when all is said and done at the end of this year, will have the better statistics, A.J. Brown or Tyreek Hill?
I got to think Tyreek Hill, but A.J. Brown catches every single double team that comes to man. I mean, it's remarkable. I think both of them have been great. Really, they have.
Six straight.
And it goes back to my point about drafting quarterbacks, right? One guy's picked in the fifth round, the other guy's picked in the second. Now, we know why. But even if Tyreek Hill would have not had issues coming off the field, he would have not been a first-round pick. Let me put that out. He was a running back at Oklahoma State. Let's put that, you know, he was a damn good running back, but he was a running back.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun battle down the stretch. A.J. Brown now six straight games of 125 or more receiving yards. Tyreek Hill, both of them on pace to break the single season receiving record if they're able to keep it up. So a fun one if they're able to stay healthy and continue to get good quarterback play from that standpoint. We are going to step aside, but that was fun. I always like doing different game or more of the same with some of these standout statistics. We're going to step aside. We have to reset with hour two, get back into a breakdown of Thursday night football, how things are going to play out. We'll try to update you on all the latest from an injury standpoint. Also, a number of line moves on this week 9 NFL card and how that compares. So we've already seen the initial line move, how that compares with some of the circa numbers as well, where we think these numbers could go based on that. We will be right back on the Lombardi Line.